station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's May 16th. Whoa, it's loud.
I can't hear anything.
Welcome to the show, May 16th. We're back here. It seems like we haven't been here a long time, huh?
I know.
It's been like a few days. Wow, this is really loud for me.
Really?
What did I do
Somebody
here?
Somebody was deaf, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, we're just adjusting our equipment since, well, we did do it before. It didn't sound right to me.
Yeah.
But here, hold on a second. I need to get it a little louder. There we go. Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Hi, Brigetta.
Hello.
It's overcast out today.
Yeah, it's pretty crappy out.
But it's probably going to burn off, right? It does every day.
You know, it does every day, but today I'm not sure. It doesn't look as appealing as it did the other day.
Okay. So you don't like this kind of weather.
No, right? I don't. I feel like if it's going to be this way, then you might as well just rain or thunderstorm.
Right.
Because, I mean, I do miss the thunderstorms from back east. I do, anyway.
The rain and stuff.
Otherwise, just make it sunny and bright.
Yeah.
I want to go to the beach.
Well, it's sunny and bright every day, you know.
I know.
It's been so hot the past week. Actually, yesterday was better.
Yeah, yesterday was a lot better.
Yeah, but it's been really hot.
Right.
You like it, huh? But you don't really live in the valley, so it's not as hot where you are
as
it is here.
It's
not.
It's still pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went jogging the other morning, and I was just dying. I'm
really?
Like, I couldn't believe how hot it got.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. So, I mean, I guess we need a little bit of something to cool it down. It's actually funny. I was just talking to my mom the other day, and she was telling me about how when it used to rain, that my brother used to say, "Mom, why is God peeing?" And, like, out of nowhere. Like, the things that go with their kids' heads, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Wow. So, well, that's cool. So, I haven't been doing much this week either. And, you know, just hanging out and stuff. I was so tired this morning. I go to sleep late, you know. I try to go to sleep by 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
I never get to bed before 1:30. And
that used to be me.
Yeah, you know, and it's so hard to get up in the morning. I'm just like, I fall asleep walking, you know.
I hear you. I know, it's funny because it's like, normally, I mean, I used to be that way where I was like a night owl and everything. And I have to say, recently, I've gone to bed quite early.
Yeah.
I want to say I'm in bed by like 9:30.
Really?
Yeah, except for last night. Last night, I have to say about last night. So I went to this amazing restaurant. And because my friend was like, "Hey, let's meet up for dinner," and he's like, "It's a vegan restaurant." So I'm just thinking it's not that great, you know, just a vegan restaurant, whatever,
right.
Like a cafe or something. And I pull up, and it's where Dolce. Remember Dolce?
No.
It used to be a really great restaurant.
Oh, like a restaurant, Dolce?
Yeah,
okay.
Fantastic restaurant. It was part of the Ago Group way back, and it was just phenomenal. Really, really great food. It's where I first discovered John Dory and how much I loved it. And they had an incredible wine list. Well, now it's a vegan restaurant called Crossroads, and I'm talking fine dining.
Really?
Fine dining, complete.
Ah,
yeah, and it's
all vegan,
and it was incredible. Like, I couldn't even believe it. And they have, obviously, tons of gluten-free options. So I was really excited because I could eat gluten-free bread last night, but it didn't taste like gluten-free bread. It was like, I mean, it was so incredible, the sauces, the spices, everything they use. It was just, I was blown away, completely blown away. So
yeah,
I
would be too. You know, I don't expect much from vegan restaurants.
I would have never have thought. And
so
it's like finally someone, you know, made this fine dining restaurant and it's all vegan. And all the liquor is organic too.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was amazing. And it was just, I was blown away. So if you get a chance, check out Crossroads because I'm literally like, I need to go again.
Yeah.
Like I'm like addicted, I think, to like some of the food. I'm like, let's order more of this.
Right.
So we had a couple of the same dishes over and over because it was just so good.
Right.
But anyway.
Sounds good. Where is it? In Hollywood?
It's in, it's on Melrose, so it's like, I want to say like West Hollywood, Beverly Hills border.
Mm.
So, and okay, you're kind of near Earth Cafe on Melrose.
Oh, okay.
Near there.
Yeah, same area. As,
yeah.
Yeah. Earth Cafe is also kind of a health place, right?
That is one health of my place. favorite all-time places. That's really? Not fine dining. That's like complete lunch, like right. breakfast lunch spot. But, I mean, they have all organic as well. And it's just they make their own teas and coffees. And it's just so good. I've been going there for years.
Really?
They don't have gluten-free options. I mean, they have a couple things, but not much.
Yeah.
So, but their salads are... to die for. They have really amazing salads.
I've never been, but
oh my god,
check it out.
You have
to
go.
There's one in Beverly Hills that I almost went into, but it was too busy, you know.
They do have a line out the door all the time. You just kind of got to get there at the right spot. But yeah, I think they open up another. I think there's like four locations now of Earth Cafe.
At least, that's cool. Yeah. So in a few minutes, we have a very special guest in the studio waiting, and we'll get to her in just a second. And we just want to make the announcement. We're not very happy about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But Brigetta is going to leave the show and focus on her career and everything. So if you noticed, you know, we've been missing a lot of days and things like that. Mm-hmm. And because Brigetta has gigs and things that she has to do. And, you know, it's starting to interfere with the show.
Yeah.
You know, so we figured it's probably the best. And God, I'm going to miss you, man. We did a year and a half together.
I know.
It's going to be like, wow.
I know.
You know, you're going to miss it every morning.
I am going to miss it.
Yeah.
It's something you do like every day. And it's like you get so used to it and it's fun. And it's a, you know, a cool way to discover and meet new people and vent in other ways. Yeah, it's like therapy, I think, in a way.
Yeah, it is. It is.
This was my therapy.
And you've contributed so much to the show.
Thank you.
And it's been great, and I appreciate your loyalty and persistence, you know, and coming every day and stuff. You know, it really has worked out great, and I think you've helped make the show better than it ever was.
Thank you.
So, you know, And you're always welcome here to be a guest, a co-host, guest co-host, whatever. You know, the door is always open to you. And I have nothing but great things to say about you.
Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, we're going to miss you. So, did you make some plans? Do you know what you're going to do?
I have a few things in my pot, but nothing solid yet. I'm definitely going to San Diego.
So you got to move?
I'm taking off, to San Diego.
That's
in
a
the
big move, huh?
It is a big move. I mean, being here in L.A. for 10 years and working in the industry for that long, it's kind of a scary thing to kind of just be like, okay, well, here I go.
So what are you going to do? Get out of the industry and do something else, or are you going to try and pursue it there?
I'm still dabbling a little bit in the industry. I have a lot of projects I'm working behind the scenes on, more of producing and writing and whatnot. So, I mean, I can do that from anywhere, and I've been doing that for a while. I mean, it's only an hour and a half, 2 hours away, so
that's
it's not like it's that far. And a lot of the gigs and stuff I do when I'm on signings or booked on events, they're traveling.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, I mean, there's an airport, so it doesn't matter. You know, and a lot of events that I've been doing too have been in Midway, like in Long Beach area or
Orange
Anaheim.
County, right.
Yeah. So it's still halfway point, so it's not bad. And,
right.
I just kind of figure it's time for a change.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, sometimes it's like you feel, you know, I've had enough living here. It's a great place.
Yeah.
But I just want to try something else, you know.
Exactly. Like you only live for a little bit of time on this planet during this lifetime.
Exactly. Why spend it all
lifetime.
In L.A., right?
You know, I've moved around. This is like the longest I've ever lived somewhere. Well, you know, I grew up in Maryland, and I was there for, 18 years of my life. And then at 18, I was like, peace out, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And I went to New York, and I was in New York for a bit, and then North Carolina, and then here. And so, it's time.
Yeah.
Just kind of do the little shuffle.
Yeah.
And get out.
What is, your friends and family support you and everything?
You know, my parents couldn't be happier.
Really?
They hate L.A.
Really?
They hate it here. They really do. It's funny, and they I think they hated a lot of things that I've done here.
That's probably why, huh?
That's the most of it. But, I mean, I've gotten some great gigs. I've had, a good fill here, I have to say, you know, working on some really big shows and had my own show for a while. And, you know, it's been the dance that everyone does. But I have to say that I'm one of the lucky ones that actually got, you know, work and gigs and whatnot. And I like my residual checks.
Yeah, sure.
That's the best
part. Yeah, you don't have to get out of it, you know.
I mean,
you can still do things, you know.
Right.
Still, still get gigs up here, and you can just drive or
right.
something. Right, it's not a big deal, but
exactly.
But as long as you live in a place where you feel comfortable and everything,
yeah.
You know.
I kind of, you know, I've been wanting the beach life for a while. I really have, and I was thinking of going to Santa Monica, and like that's too stuffy. And then I was like, oh, Malibu, that could be cool because it's more of like a chill vibe. And then that's just so far.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, I want Venice. So expensive. You know, and it's like, what do I don't really know what I wanted. And then finally, some person that I'm close to down south, I was like, you know, I really do like it down here. And I do have some friends there that actually moved from the East Coast down there anyway.
Nice.
So I'm like, you know what? It's time. Like, just, it's a change.
Yeah.
It's not that far. I'm still dabbling and all.
That's true.
You know. Get a big gig. They're going to send a car for me anyway. I
there you go.
So perfect.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I can wish you nothing but the best.
Thanks.
You know? I mean, you really deserve it. And I know you've had some problem with roommates and,
yeah,
and stuff like that. You know,
so still,
you can put that behind you.
Exactly. I'm so tired of having a house, too, and being responsible for three other people. It's
yeah,
like,
that's too much.
Because it's still... Like, someone just paid their rent yesterday. Are
right.
you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Really?
It's the 15th. So I had to spot that. You know, like,
wow.
It's just, I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm tired of, like, having to deal with the stress of it all. And I just kind of want to be on my own.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Just focus on you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, cool. So we'll still be back here tomorrow with Bridgetta and everything. And we'll have a farewell show and everything. And we can go over some of the things we did over the year.
That'll
and a half
be fun.
So, yeah. But
a recap of some of the silly things.
Yeah.
That could be really funny.
I know. So we've had some great guests too. You
yeah,
know,
we really have.
Yeah, over the year and a half that we've been doing this, a lot of great guests, and
mm-hmm.
So, well, God, I'm so sad. You know?
I know.
I really am.
I know.
Well, we'll talk more about it, but we do have a guest in the studio waiting anxiously to talk. Her name is Linda Stacy. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you.
And you're a New Yorker, right?
Yes, I am.
Have
nice.
You lived there all your life?
Yes.
Really?
Since Jesus was born the first time.
Pull the mic towards you a little
okay,
bit so you can
sorry.
Get closer. There
okay.
you go. Since when? Since Jesus what?
Since Jesus was born the first time.
Oh, I see. Okay. No, that's a long time. So, from what I understand, you're a New York Post critic?
Yes, I'm a critic and columnist for the New York Post.
That's
wow.
awesome.
Yeah,
so, are you a regular? You write every week?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
I'm on
oh
vacation
my God.
Every day.
That's true, yeah.
And before I left for vacation, I had to file like 4 columns.
Really?
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
I wanted to kill myself.
Wow.
Or kill everybody there. I
yeah.
Know, one or the other. You know, newspapers, even though we're in the digital age, which is even worse because then you have to, you know, it's 24/7
mm-hmm. right.
constant feeding the machine. But, you know, newspapers don't stop for Christmas or your birthday or anything
right.
else. You just keep feeding the machine every day.
Right.
You got to fill pages.
And they expect you to keep writing.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when you go on vacation, since I'm the critic, what are they supposed to do? So
right.
I have to try to get as much in the can before I leave. So
that's
by the time
true.
I leave for vacation, I'm on the plane going,
That's cool. So you're on vacation now.
Yeah.
So you stopped in L.A. for a couple
yes,
days?
Yes, my family's here.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, nice.
Family's in Studio City and in Santa Monica.
Oh, okay,
oh, well,
cool.
Cool.
So it's like
yeah.
down
yeah.
the street
yeah.
for you.
That's cool.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you decided to come and join us here this
thank
morning.
You. Thank you for asking me.
So, where are you going
We're
on
going
your vacation?
We're going to China. We're going to China.
Oh, wow.
My husband is like an insane person. And he would rather not go anywhere than be on a plane where somebody got a ticket for $3 less than him.
My
so
God.
Yeah. We're going on a Groupon
oh
trip
God.
To China.
We you know what, though? Groupon has some great deals.
Wait.
Really
we went
does.
On a Groupon safari last year.
Oh,
it was
wow.
fantastic. Everything was fantastic until the leopard and the baboon decided
oh, no.
that a good thing to do would be to... fight on our tent all night long.
No.
I was in terror.
Oh, my God.
And I kept saying to my husband, come on. Because I left the zippers open.
Oh, no.
Because I thought, well, it's so hot. I'm not going to close this whole thing and die in the heat.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I saw this big cat walking across
oh
the
my
front
God.
And all the and all the all we had was netting and I'm saying to my husband, get up, we're gonna die. I said, if we're gonna die, I'm gonna die asleep. So now we're going on the the group on China trip. He said, look, we could have died in Africa for a lot more money than we could have died for free. So
oh, my God.
That's true, yeah.
Now we're going on the cheap China trip.
That's so funny. You know what? I've heard that it's a lot of fun there, because I have my friend's parents just went not too long ago. Just don't drink any of the water.
Oh,
make sure everything's bottled.
I know.
Yeah, but they had a great time.
Everyone I know that goes there comes back sick. So I don't really mind if I lose 20 pounds. I come near death. As long as I lose the 20 pounds, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Oh,
I'm saying that now.
Exactly.
And they're saying for Americans, sometimes it's hard to get used to the food and everything. Some people will just eat American food there.
Right.
Because the Chinese food there is not like the Chinese we eat here, you know.
Well, here's the problem, too. You have to make sure you go to a nice restaurant where they actually use bottled water and whatnot. Because even the water they cook, I mean, though you're boiling the water, it's still bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, and what I'm told is not to drink any tea.
Yeah.
Because the tea is not boiled.
Really?
No, it's just
so
kind
just
of
warmed?
Steeped. It's warmed. Uh-huh. And everybody that says, oh, I can't wait, I'm going to have some tea. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because you don't know what they're really doing. And then I also, there's cats everywhere. He's don't eat meat.
I don't eat meat anyway, but did you see the thing last week? This really encouraged me on our China trip. Did you see the thing last week where a company was charged and admitted that they were selling rat as chicken or something?
I heard something about that.
Where, in China?
In China, but I mean, obviously the food is all sent here. It's all that processed stuff that's sent here, because people buy 70-foot long, you know, boxes of cereal and this and that and the other, and it was rat.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm not going to eat the vegetables either, because what if they were boiled?
Right, exactly. You don't know. Yeah.
You'll find yourself going to McDonald's every day. That's what's going to happen, you know. That's funny. So how long are you going to stay there?
10 long days.
10 days. and where are you going, to Beijing? Or?
We're going Beijing to Shanghai to, I don't know, all these places in between.
Wow. Are you nervous going there?
No. I travel all the time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
But you've probably never been to a place like that. Well, you said you were in Africa, right? On safari.
When I wrote my last book, I stayed in monasteries, crazy places. I climbed mountains. I'm used to crazy traveling.
Yeah.
So you like adventure travel.
Awesome. Yeah, I only like adventure travel. I don't see the point of like going someplace.
Right.
And just
you're going
to... I'm going to go to the museum. I've seen museums. I've seen paintings. I want to do something I want to do. Sort of like watching sports. I'd rather do sports. I don't want to watch it. Who cares? I don't care what they're doing. I want to know what I'm doing. Very self-centered, but.
That's funny.
Well, I agree. You want to take part of the action. I'm kind of the same way. Yeah. Except for football. I will watch football all day.
Yeah, football's fun, I know.
But
my family is like, everyone in my family is like insane football fans.
Yeah?
Really?
Insane
are
football fans.
Are they Giants or are they?
Jets.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Ravens.
I guess it stays in the family. You know?
You're gonna...
If one person likes the Jets, all of them like the Jets, I guess, right? Otherwise, there'd be rivalries.
You're not allowed in my family unless you like the Jets. It's not whether, you know, it's just not even a choice.
Yeah. Yep, I hear you.
It's a prerequisite to join the family.
like it's a big deal. Sorry, you can't come into this family because you're not a Jets fan. Thank God. Who wants in? I don't know.
Right. First thing I did was with my guy, I got him a Ravens jersey and his daughter a Ravens cheerleading outfit.
Is that why you're moving to San Diego?
Maybe.
Yeah. She won't admit it. Yeah, because usually it's like, you know, I make fun of people that move to another place because of a person. Not necessarily make fun, but it's just because... You know, often it's not a good thing. You know, I mean, you're not going very far, so it's fine. But some people will go across the world to be with their man or something, and then, you know, something happens, and then they're left alone there in a strange country and stuff, you know. So, she's totally in charge of her life there.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll be fine.
I'm a survivor anyway.
An hour and a half.
You could drop me off in Africa, and I would survive.
Yeah, I
mean,
know
come on.
Would. Yeah.
I was on Ted Nugent. I can kill stuff. You know? If you've seen my show, you know.
Yeah, we know. We know.
Yeah, it's funny.
So, Linda, back to you. So, you're they say pop culture critic? Is that what?
Yeah, mostly I do TV. I do movies. Not
TV and movies and
mostly
stuff.
Mostly TV, yeah.
When did you get into that? Into
I've been at the Post for 10 years, and before that I was at the Daily News as a gossip columnist.
Oh, wow. And those are both like the same, right? They come out every day in New York, and they're not like
they
the New York Times.
They come out constantly,
but,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
well, they're,
are they considered tabloids?
They're tabloids.
They're tabloids,
but, you know,
right?
Interestingly, tabloid just means the size of the paper.
Right, that's the way it used to be, right?
The size of the mm-hmm. paper. So a New York Times is broadsheet, which means it's much larger. Mm. The actual physical paper
right.
shape is
mm-hmm.
larger. And tabloid just means that it's a certain size.
Right, like a smaller one. And
but it also means that we have more fun.
Right. No, absolutely.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't have to take it too seriously.
The headlines in the New York Post are just the best.
They're the best headlines,
they
especially
really
the
are.
Front page. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the other day, with OJ was up for a hearing.
He wants to have his trial another trial. He wants to have another trial.
Wants it.
Yeah.
So
he's been sitting there for 30 years now.
Right.
You know?
It's 30
yeah.
years?
30 years.
So he put on a couple of pounds while he was in jail. So our New York Post front page headline was, doing lard time.
Oh, no.
It's always
that
play on words. Now, do they
wow.
have people, special people that write the headlines that are qualified for that?
No, the editors write the editors write the headlines. But, you know, the editor-in-chief and the managing editors and a couple of the copy people. But, you know,
yeah.
they wouldn't be in that position if they didn't.
Weren't creative.
You know, they have to be right. they have to be real hard news people, but they also have to be, you know, have a sense of
right.
of understanding who,
right.
who our readers are. And actually, right. interestingly enough, our readers are, for the most part, the same people who read the New York Times.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They just want something yeah. a little lighter,
yeah.
you know?
Right.
And more entertainment-focused
right.
and sports and
exactly.
things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, I mean, but do you find that you guys aren't taken seriously sometimes?
No.
We're
taken seriously.
It's, yeah, because it's not as bad as, like, the Inquirer and things like that.
Oh, my God.
No. No.
It's something totally different.
The New York Post, like the Daily News, is a daily New York paper. We break
right.
as many stories as the New York Times.
Right.
We have
and you don't pay for stories and stuff like
God,
the tabloids
no.
do.
Oh, God, no.
No, that's
yeah.
like OK Magazine
yeah.
and
no.
Star and all
well,
that.
Well, Inquirer, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
like
that's a whole other thing. No,
right.
No,
except that they call them tabloids too, so I wanted
no, it
to
just
clarify.
No, tabloid just means the physical size
right.
of the paper.
But today, mm-hmm. I think we refer to tabloids as the gossip
yes,
sheet.
Yes, that's true.
Know,
it's become
like that.
It's become
mm-hmm.
that. But
yeah.
but it's and all newspapers are actually getting smaller in size because
right.
of the cost of the paper.
Right.
New
yeah.
York Times is actually smaller than it used to be.
Right.
Aww.
Now, do you think that, the Wall Street Journal also, I remember, decreased their size
yes.
a little bit
yes.
about
mm-hmm.
a year or two ago, mm-hmm. yeah. And
I don't read newspapers, clearly.
Yeah. Oh, I read the USA Today and the Wall Street Journal every day. Otherwise, I
yeah.
feel I'm lost, you know.
See, I just like going online.
Yeah,
and
exactly. There's different sources to get it
yeah.
from. I just like holding the paper, just like I love books.
Well, I agree with you with that. I need the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all going digital now, and it's not quite the same. You know,
no,
I mean, I
no.
do have a Kindle. It's not the same as holding a book, you know.
One of the problems with the digital news is that since you have to feed the machine constantly,
mm-hmm.
and there's very little time to do serious investigative journalism because you're mm-hmm. always running behind the, you know, for example, when there's a big entertainment story, for example, when Michael Jackson died,
mm-hmm.
the television stations were going on the air with bloggers, you know, guys who sit in their basement who've never
right.
met Michael Jackson, and they were saying, you know, they were having these guys on, and they were telling stuff that made, you know, just
yeah.
making stuff up, and then
wow.
the you know, ABC and CBS and other people are have these dopey guys on, and so we're now it's like a game of catch up.
Right.
And you have to be really careful because those people aren't vetted. We're vetted every second. We have to make sure that we can't make stuff up.
Right.
If we make stuff up, we get sued.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Exactly.
A blogger sitting in his basement makes up stuff. What are you going to do? Sue him for, you know,
right.
sue him for his shoes?
Right, right.
So, but it's really changed the entire landscape of
yeah,
news.
I guess you're right.
Right,
yeah.
yeah. But now, you know, the mainstream publications are all going digital, but Newsweek recently end their print version altogether. You know, right. Some magazines have both, but
I don't know how a news weekly can survive.
Yeah.
I mean, news is happening every second and it's right. reported every second. What are you going to do? Wait a week now for to read the news stories? It makes no
right.
sense. I mean, it's a 100-year-old concept.
But you know, maybe they can focus more on analysis and features and things like
yes.
that. You know,
like figures. Yeah,
because already we know. I mean, I don't think they were ever there to break the news. You know, I mean, these things maybe in feature or investigative stories.
Right,
and things
more
like
of
that.
A story
right.
type.
Right,
right.
But the daily stuff is online. You
interviews.
Know?
You know, yeah.
but,
that kind
but
of thing.
That whole sensibility has changed.
Right.
Which is why they had to go digital.
Right.
I mean, people, by the time a news weekly comes out now, you're so saturated with that story that I don't want to read it necessarily mm-hmm. an analysis of what happened last week because I've been hearing it for 70,000
right.
hours already.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, stop.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, but when you think about it, you know, a book is not really what you're holding in your hand. It's a story.
Right.
The same, you know, with the newspapers, it's the content. With the magazines, it's the content. So, you know, I mean, it totally makes economical sense to go digital, you know, because you have to process the paper and print
exactly.
and, you know, and deliver and distribute and send it
and
around the country and stuff.
And
yeah, and it takes time and it takes money and stuff. And then here all they have to do is just put it online and
exactly.
bam, you know.
Exactly.
So that's why I know books and magazines are going to disappear in their current form.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take a genius to figure right. that out, you know. I'm just going to miss them a hell of a lot.
See, that's the thing, too. I like the old, I don't know, I'm so into... I have books and books all over. I have bookshelves of it. And I love having the books in my hand, and I love
right.
old books.
Exactly.
Just the feel of it, the smell of them. Like the
I know. I love
know,
the way
been,
they smell.
Yeah.
And you can put them on your shelf,
yeah.
and on your bookshelf. What are we going to do now, you know? Where are we going to put
I
all
moved,
the books
yeah, I moved last year, and I had probably 40 cartons of books. And I
wow.
decided that I would keep the ones that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't need to keep every single book.
Right.
I couldn't give them away.
Wow.
Jails won't take them. Libraries won't take them. Nobody would take them.
Really?
I finally had to just ask a homeless shelter that my husband's an attorney and that he represented if they would please do us a favor and take them. Nobody wanted them.
Wow.
Because of many things, but... bed bugs being one,
mm.
and other things. Nobody wants books anymore.
Wow.
It was, you know, usually it used to be that you could give away books in a
right.
second,
yeah.
sell books on the street.
Yeah.
Nothing.
What
nothing.
About used books, bookstores? Do they have some still for used
yes,
books?
Yes, there's still a great one in New York City called The Strand, mm-hmm. which is, it's been there forever.
I feel like it sounds familiar.
Yeah, and
yeah.
it's just one of those great old crazy bookstores
mm-hmm.
where you can find... first editions of things that
see, that's
you can't
incredible.
Believe
yeah.
are still... And the fact that it's still there and it's in the middle of Greenwich Village,
mm-hmm.
it's... You know, all those places are just disappearing. All
yeah.
those old cafes are disappearing. It's just a shame, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where we wow. live in just such a fast...
Right.
I
yeah.
mean, I get on the bus in the morning and everybody's on their cell phone and they're looking at their stuff. First of all, why do you have to... Why do you wait to get on public transportation to make a private call?
Yeah.
Can you do that at home?
I will say
these are the things
I am guilty of that
yeah.
a little bit. Well, I don't like talking with everyone can hear.
Right.
I can't stand it.
Right.
I don't want everyone hearing my conversation. But I will say if I'm late, which is pretty much my life, I'm running, I'm throwing on clothes, I'm brushing my teeth, I'm throwing whatever food and drinks or what in my mouth or my backpack, and I'm running to the station, and I get to the station and I'm carrying all these bags, and then I sit down and I'm like, oh, I'm sitting down, thank God. Oh, I picked that phone call. And then I get on the phone and I'm like, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Then I try and text and email, like that's my main thing. I hate talking on the phone. Like, I really hate talking on the phone. It irritates me. Because I have a million things to do. I don't want to
yeah.
take the time to talk to someone who yaps their
time.
Life away. And it's like, just shut up.
Yeah.
I
you know?
Feel the same way. But I get on the bus in the morning on the way to work, and people just wait to get on. I've heard doctors saying, oh, I'm sorry, I have a bad diagnosis. Could you not say that on the bus? I heard
wow.
one guy calling, and he said, he was an accountant, and he said, listen, I can't keep you out of jail, Larry.
Yeah.
And he's like giving the whole thing.
Oh my God. So
wow. You see, that's such a different lifestyle in New York, you know?
See, I
can't imagine taking a bus now and stuff, you know? We're so spoiled here.
It's true. But well, see, over there, you just, that's what you do.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You train it everywhere.
Yeah.
You kind of miss that in
that's
a way.
That's true. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy visiting there a lot, you know?
Well, it takes me 5 minutes. My office, the post office, we're in the same building as Fox. And
mm-hmm.
We're in Rockefeller Center. All the subways are right underneath building.
Yeah,
right. We can go. I go anywhere in 5 minutes. I wouldn't, you know, my husband drives everywhere.
And it's $1.50.
It's not. It's $2.50.
Oh, sorry. I don't remember.
You haven't been there for a while.
Well, yeah. I got the $10 pass for all day and whatever, so I don't
remember. So, but it's, it's, you can go anywhere in 5 minutes. Why do I want to sit in traffic?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's true. It totally makes sense.
And
we
walk a huge amount.
You guys have tremendous public transportation system. That's why, ours is...
But, you know, you also can't just say, oh, I'm going to walk 10 blocks and go here. I'm going to walk 20 blocks.
You're
going to have to go to a different town.
Yeah.
True.
Awesome. So we'll talk a little bit more about the stuff you write on and that, but... You did bring a book.
Yes.
So you wrote a book.
Yes.
Was this just published now?
Yes. It's called The Sixth Station. It's out a few months, and it's gotten great reviews, and it's doing very well. And
yeah, you even got a blurb from Bill O'Reilly here.
Bill
Amazing.
O'Reilly, Nelson DeMille, Linda Fairstein. I got huge...
Steve Berry, who I like.
I like Steve Berry, too.
Steve Berry we had on the show once. Yeah, so now how did you get into... So it's called The Sixth Station, and it looks like an adventure type of action.
Well, actually, what it is it's a religious-based thriller. And it took me 6 years. I traveled through 5 countries.
Wow.
I stayed with monks who guard this relic that I found. I spent days with a cloistered crazy nun in the mountains of Montepello, Italy.
Wow.
I traveled through Europe with an exorcist priest from the Vatican.
Mm.
And I climbed a mountain twice.
Wow.
All in pursuit of the research of this book.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Which is crazy because, as we were talking about, I'm a tabloid writer, which means that, you know, you call me up and you say, listen, I just found the cure for cancer, and I'll say, hurry up, I got 10 minutes. You
right,
know?
Right.
So to do something that took 6 years, I was like, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's a long time.
But, I it's a fiction book, but everything in the book is true.
Really?
Yes, there is a relic, and I do believe it contains the DNA of Jesus, and I found it, and it's in a monastery way in the mountains of Italy, and it's guarded by these monks, and it's been guarded by these monks for the last 800 years.
Wow.
Before that, I traced it to the Cathars and then the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
And they had it, and I believe it was once in the possession of Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Church doesn't really want you to know about this because, mm-hmm. well, let me go back a few steps. In every Catholic Church in the world, there's the Stations of the Cross, which are, this is very funny for me because I'm an agnostic, that the fact that this book came to me is beyond
me. It's amazing.
So anyway, there's the Stations of the Cross in every church. And these are the different areas that Jesus stopped along the way
before
to the crucifixion.
Died. Right.
And the sixth station is Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. Now, Veronica was supposedly the wife of a centurion who, when Jesus stopped before her, she took her veil off her face, wiped his face, and his image appeared.
Mm.
The veil exists, but Veronica never did. I found out that was totally made up.
Wow.
What I believe this is, and I can show you, of course you can't see it on the radio, the Veil of Veronica is a transparent image with a man's face on it, and it has spots of blood on it. The Shroud of Turin is a negative image, like an old negative of a photograph, and that's on a solid piece of linen. What I believe happened is that when Jesus was put in the tomb, first on every Jewish man's face 2,000 years ago when they were buried, they'd put a veil on the face before they'd wrap the shroud
mm-hmm.
around the body.
Okay.
So if you put the Veil of Veronica and the Shroud of Turin images together, they form an exact 3D image. I have it with me, yes. And I believe that this veil was the burial cloth of Jesus, and when he arose from the dead, Mary Magdalene took it. Then she went to live in France, and I've traced this piece of cloth mm-hmm. all over the world.
Right.
And the Knights Templar used this veil as a banner when they went into battle. Now, when I went to the monks who guard this relic, and I was photographing and everything, and I said to them, do you believe that this was actually of Saint Veronica? the monk said to me, do you believe that a woman named Veronica lived in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago?
That's true.
And I was like, okay, yeah, that's sort of like Saint Ronnie, you know?
Right, right.
He said, no, he said, Veronica, it's Latin, it means true icon. Mm. And the Catholic Church made up this story because they couldn't explain away this image, so they made up a story that a woman's name was Veronica, Veronica.
Mm.
And then they made her into a saint, and she never existed. People are like, please,
wow.
Saint Veronica, give me a miracle. She never existed.
Wow.
So that's, wow.
Yeah, so that's what I traced all through this book. That's why it took me 6 very long years.
Yeah,
this
but,
is incredible.
Yeah, but I'm sure it probably shows that you put in a lot of work into it, because
yes.
you need to know these facts and all these things and stuff. I'm going to read this. I love these kind of books.
It's
you know?
Really fun.
You're
going
really
to have
like
to send
this.
Me one.
I will absolutely have my publicist send one to you today.
Yeah.
You'll really enjoy it. It's a lot
so,
of fun.
So, and it's along the lines of the Da Vinci Code and stuff
yes.
like that, you know, in France and Mary Magdalene
See,
and
I'm
all that.
I'm so into that.
I know.
I really am.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
Well, I think everybody kind of is. We just didn't know we were.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, I went... when we were talking about traveling, my husband and I decided to take a road trip, but not like normal people that go to Orlando. We took a road trip through Turkey. And that's how this book, the whole book started, because we had a guide in Ephesus. And all I wanted to know is where she got the knockoff Chanel purse, because it was the best knockoff purse I ever saw. And all she wanted to do is take us to a serious religious site. So she said she was going to take us to the house of the Virgin Mary. And I thought, okay, I really am in Orlando, because...
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that Jesus' mother ended up in Turkey.
Right.
And then, but apparently she did, and this house is there, and 4 popes have gone there and served Mass there,
wow.
including the last pope, who went there and said, Muslims are more believing in the Virgin Mary than Christians are, which got him in a huge amount of trouble, and then it mysteriously disappeared off the internet, no longer available for
uh-huh.
your eyes to see.
Uh-huh.
And, this book sort of just fell out of my head, and I became obsessed with it, which, as I said, is
wow.
interesting because I'm an agnostic,
mm-hmm.
right. Which I think...
But
is
you are a
way.
Writer.
Yes.
You've always been a writer,
yes.
right?
But I think that's yeah. the only way to approach a book like this, is to be mm-hmm. a cynic and an agnostic,
right.
because if you believe all the hype that's thrown your way, you
that's
would just
true. It
never
won't
write...
Right.
The truth.
That's true. You'd be preaching or something.
Exactly.
You know?
See,
yeah.
I'm really into the history of things, because you know the Catholic Church has lied. They've covered up millions of things over the burning yeah. of the books. I mean, all kinds of things that you
oh
find out.
You can't
so
even imagine what I found out along the way.
And
really?
See, that to me is the most... I mean, I grew up Catholic, but that to me is
I
the
did
most
too.
Fascinating. I want to know more. I want to know more mm. stories. And then a friend of mine was in the movie The Skulls, and I remember him doing the research mm. on all of the, you know, the underground, the Skulls, the Knights Templar, like, you know, a lot of that. And that fascinated me.
Mm.
And then with the whole Da Vinci Code, when that came out, I read another whole thing on the history and truths about it. And it's just, I just love when someone uncovers things, and I'm mm. sure you've got even
well,
more stories that probably aren't even in there.
Part of the book takes place in Montsecur, France, where there were the Cathars, which most people have never even heard of. In the 12th century was the fastest growing Christian sect in the world, and it was spreading all over Europe. The Crusades were actually started... One of the Crusades was actually started to wipe out the Cathars,
mm.
which nobody's even knows about. And they actually killed somewhere between 300,000 and 2 million people who
mm-hmm.
because they did not follow the Pope and the Catholic Church.
Right.
So the Catholic Church actually sent crusaders and troops
mm-hmm.
to kill other Christians.
Right.
Now, part of this book takes place in Montsecur, France, where the last of the Cathars lived. There were 200 of them that willingly, after an 11-month siege of the Pope's crusaders...
Which pope was this? I'm sorry.
It was Pope Gregory.
Okay.
willingly walked down a mountain, a 5,000-foot mountain, which I, the one I climbed, with babies, everything, and went, and 200 of them were burnt, 225 were burned alive, rather than give up what they, what was supposedly called the Cathar treasure. Mm-hmm. And I believe the Cathar treasure was this veil, because four of them escaped by rappelling down the backside of the mountain the night before with the Cathar treasure. Well, you can't, first of all, they had given up all worldly goods. You can't rappel down a mountain with a treasure chest on your back. So that's what I believe it was. And the Catholic Church has covered up this gigantic Holocaust that they committed against Christians.
Right. Mm-hmm. And who knows how many more stories are like that, you know, for
sure. Oh, yeah.
So what countries were you in? I would imagine you were in Israel, right?
Yeah, so I went to Israel.
France.
I went to France. I went to Italy. I was in Spain. I went to even Brazil. I
traveled. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Just, this is crazy, crazy stuff I did.
Yeah, wonderful. So is this like a globe-trotting type of adventure and stuff?
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes, it begins with the trial of a terrorist in New York City. Mm. Now, you have to think, my feeling was that if Jesus were alive now, in those days he was called a seditionist, today he'd be called a terrorist.
Oh, really?
So it starts with the trial in New York City. Is this guy Osama bin Laden type, or is he the second coming?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It got me in a lot of trouble, but
whatever.
Very, very.
You know, but that's the best kind.
Yeah. So, this is your first fiction book. Have you written any books before that?
Yes, I've written 5 nonfiction books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On what? Give us some ideas.
Some on beauty, some on health. The last one I did it was called Scotto Family Suppers. It's a very famous restaurant in New York City called Fresco's, and I did all their family stories for their book. Yeah.
Wow, that's
a lot of fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So now, so you started writing probably early on in your life, right?
Yes, actually, I studied art. But I always would get through all my tests because I could write my way out of anything. I'd go to the back of it and see.
I'm going
to
high five you. I'm going to high five you. I did the same thing.
I can write my own for the essays. If I can write my way out of this, at least I'll get a 60.
Yeah.
And when I started actually going into the real world, I realized, not a lot of jobs for fine artists. Not a very good one at that. So I started working at women's magazines. And
nice. So that's what you've been doing most of your career is writing for magazines and newspapers?
Newspapers and magazines.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So I guess the more you write, the more notoriety you get and the more chance you get to write for bigger papers, bigger organizations. Is that true?
Well, I've always worked for major... I've been lucky. I've always worked for major mainstream.
Really? So you always thought big.
I always, yeah. I had a big mouth.
Now, so when you're a writer like this, are you a freelancer? Or
no.
So you're employed by them,
yeah.
Right?
I'm
wow,
on staff.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how long have you written for them?
For the New York Post, I've been for 10 years. I also do a TV show in New York.
Oh, really? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's called What a Week, and I do it with my a co-host, Mark Simone. Mm-hmm. And we go, and it's on New York One, which is a 24-hour Time Warner news station in New York. And he's very conservative. I'm liberal, and we just argue. And we disagree about everything.
That's gotta be fun.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. He's much smarter than me, so I just have to dance my way around.
Well, he did it in school with writing and stuff. There you go. You know. So, well, this is nice. So, what?
Well, where can everyone find your other books? Do you have a website, or they just?
Well, I have a website for this book.
Okay.
It's thesixthstation.com.
Okay.
And
that's the station you were referring to about Jesus.
The Station of the Cross, yes.
Right.
And this book is available in all the bookstores and online and Amazon and.
Yeah, and be prepared for a professionally bound and designed book. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's a great book.
When it's self-publishing, sometimes you know it's not that impressive and stuff.
Yeah, you're not sure.
But this is, in fact, you know, I mean, it looked so familiar when you brought it in here that I think I may have seen it at Barnes and Noble or something.
Yes,
you know,
it's featured
under
in
new fiction.
Yes, that's where
I may have seen it.
And it's Tor Forge, which is Macmillan. so.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
They made my textbooks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Back in the day.
Now, how do you, this is pretty ambitious, you know, to get a writing deal with a publisher and something like that. How do you think you were able to get the deal? Because so many people are saying, God, it's so competitive, it's hard, nobody ever reads my stuff.
Well, I guess from your notoriety of writing.
Yeah, if you're, you know, the New York Post has 1 million readers a day, so, you know, my name is pretty well known. But even so, I was not able to sell this book on a proposal with a few chapters. I had to write the entire book.
Really? Give the manuscript.
And then I had 14 rejections.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
See, because now that's inspiring. I mean,
very. Very. I would have given up.
I actually, on the day I got an offer that I accepted, I said to my agent, just pull it. I cannot do this anymore. And she said, nope, someone's going to. And people found it just too controversial, and they were afraid of it.
Wow.
Which I was shocked at.
But it's a work of fiction, you know? Yeah.
Well, my friend Nelson DeMille said to me, I said, what if, you know, I've really tried, I've worked very hard in making sure everything's true. He said, who cares? It's fiction. But I don't feel that way, you know, because I really did work very hard on it, on finding, uncovering these truths.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, which is true, he said, people are going to be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And they were afraid of it. I had several people say to my agent, I love the book. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. They were afraid of it. They were afraid of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid of...
Wow, that amazes me.
You know, I had one agent, not even editor, an agent say, as a non-practicing Jew, I find this book offensive on every level. It's like, what does that mean? If you're practicing... maybe you find it offensive, even though there's nothing about Judaism in here. I said, what do you mean? She said, just as a someone who believes in religion, I just find it offensive. Well, I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah, that's what
stories are. It's the truth. I didn't make this stuff up.
And then, and then these people go to the bookstore and buy a book on mass murderers and serial murderers and things like that.
That's
you
not
know?
Offensive.
Yeah, that's not offensive to them at all, you know. And that's what I don't understand. I mean, that's what fiction's about. That's what movies are about, you know. It's about enjoying yourself, learning something in the mm-hmm. process, and just, go experiencing something that you wouldn't otherwise, you know.
An agent for the movies called me.
I was going to ask you that, because this sounds like a great, I would watch it in a heartbeat.
I had a meeting with her yesterday. She will remain anonymous. She said, well... I wanted to talk to you because, you know, you got great reviews and your name is very famous and so forth. But I have to tell you that after reading it, I didn't read the whole thing. I only read part of it because I just find that I don't like anything religious. I said, well, it's not actually religious. It's a story that involves a religious figure. She said, but, you know, no one would want to read about someone who's accused of being a terrorist. I said, well, people are reading it.
Yeah.
So it was like she was just didn't want to touch it. She was afraid of it. She didn't want to touch it. And yet you can read stuff all the time that's mm-hmm. so ridiculous, controversial, mm-hmm. offensive on every level. But when you come and you're reading something that's a truth, you find it offensive. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. The truth is offensive. I didn't make it up.
Yeah. Well, Linda Stacey, I'm sorry. We go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I really feel that I feel like it's going to come around. I would love to see this as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when, you know, Dan Brown wrote The Da Vinci Code and the book that came after it and before
Angels
it.
And
yeah.
Demons,
You know, he heard the same thing left and right. And he got a lot of criticism as well. And look, it turned into a movie.
Right.
So,
and that's the thing. Controversy is good.
When you said earlier about inspiring, that's what I have to say is do not listen to people who tell you it's not good enough, you're not good enough, it's offensive, it's whatever. It's
mm-hmm.
If you have a dream and you do the work and you do it right,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen.
Right.
And don't let anybody, you know, it's unfortunate that people get to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because if you really have the talent and you really put in the work, You know, talent is not enough. If you put in the work and you do it right, don't let anybody stop you.
Right.
You can't let anybody stop you, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're just going to sit and say what I could have done.
Right. Especially after you spent 5 years writing this, for crying out loud. You know? You don't want to give up so soon, you know.
But it does get discouraging when people, you know, people are afraid of something you've done.
Right.
Because it never actually, when I was writing it, never occurred to me that people would be afraid of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you afraid
of?
I know.
That's true. I wouldn't either.
You would think back in the day, maybe, but not nowadays.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But I think it's very inspiring and very encouraging for everyone out there listening who, you know, is writing their own books or, you know, or whatever it may be, whatever adventure mm-hmm. they're on, because you are known, you are established, and still had trouble with it.
That's
yet,
right.
All in the end, you got it.
Right.
And
right.
so
I actually also heard, because the protagonist is a woman. She's a 42-year-old. Wise-ass reporter, of course, in New York City. And I also had editors say to me, well, how about if we made her 23? Because 42-year-old women can't have adventures. I said, what? They said, yeah, somebody said that to me. A 42-year-old woman isn't sexy. What?
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like, what? Are we in 1952?
Right,
what
right.
year is this?
Yeah.
That's why I want to tell everybody, don't listen to them.
Right. Mm.
Don't listen to them. Just because they're making a lot of money deciding what other people should do, don't listen to them.
Now, there's a great piece of advice.
Yeah. Listen to them, or they'll bring you down.
I was going to say, even remember the movie that came out not too long ago about the Black Diamond and everything?
Oh, yes,
And the reporter was, you know, she was, I would say, late 30s, mm-hmm. and she was gorgeous,
right.
the actress that played her.
Right.
So
my protagonist is kind of a slob. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not one of the, you know, her friend is gorgeous, but mm-hmm. she's kind of like, she puts on shirts, she's, oh, there's a stain, I'll put a scarf over it,
but that's like 50 Shades of Gray, in other words. The main character is a, you know, dorky, messy, have no idea.
Yeah, rather
dress,
than be so stereotypical of everything, they're always like so handsome.
Uh-huh.
And,
right, she's not, you know, she's average looking. She's kind of a slob. She has affairs, but it's like, I slept with my ex-husband again. I didn't mean to do that.
We got to wrap up, Linda. So we have Linda Stacy, of course. The book is The Sixth Station, action, adventure, and religion, and all that kind of stuff in it. Probably an easy read. I'm definitely going to read it, and I'll write a review on Amazon for you as well.
Great, thank you.
And I will too once I get it.
Okay. And those in New York or New York Post readers, you can find her every day in the Post on the Pop Culture, right?
Yes.
Pop Culture Critic, also on New York One Television, and you've appeared on many shows and stuff like that as well.
Yes. Today Show, Good Morning America, O'Reilly.
Awesome. And now on Sam and Brigitta.
Yes.
There you go. All right, Linda, thank you so much. Enjoy yourself in China. Thank you for stopping by on the way here.
Next time you see me, I'll be 20 pounds thinner.
Yeah, there you go.
You're so funny.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.